So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hello, and welcome to 90 Day Fiancé MK. I'm Mr. O, and today, Ms. H and I will apparently be discussing the season finale of season 2 of 90 Day Fiancé The Other Way. In this episode, we see Devin and Jehoon get married again before COVID hits, Kenny and Armando get some really great news, Brittany and Yazan try to formulate a plan, Ariella is really intimidated by the Tin Cat celebration, and Sumit continues to fight with his parents. Since this is the last episode of the season and there's no tell-all in sight, we'll end like we end every season, with power rankings for all the main cast. Next week, we'll be back again to talk about the premiere of Season 8 of OG 90 Day Fiancé. If you like our show, please leave us a 5-star rating and subscribe. And if you also watch Love After Lockup, you should listen to our other podcast, Love After Lockup MK. All right, thanks for listening, stay safe, and enjoy.
Hello, Mr. O.
Hello, Miss H.
How are things?
They're getting more festive, getting to be that Christmas time now, right?
Yes, very nice. Yes, I'm excited for Christmas time this year. Hopefully I'll be able to make it out of the country.
Right. Well, I mean, that is
fingers crossed.
Is that always your Christmas tradition? Because this is going to be like 2 years in a row now, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think I haven't been home for Christmas in a good 5 years. So, yeah.
No. All right. Well,
it's what I do. Speaking of leaving the country, we're talking about The Other Way. So, and we're talking about celebrations. So let's start off with Binyam and Ari. So Binyam and Ari are on their way for a celebration of Timkat, which is an Orthodox holiday to celebrate the baptism of Jesus. They are both dressed in cultural attire. Binyam tells Ari about the tradition of throwing lemons at girls you like, and if they return the feelings, they take the lemons. Ari asks him if he will throw a lemon at her, and Binyam says he will throw a watermelon, or water lemon, but yeah, he meant watermelon. Binyam is taking this day as an opportunity to propose to Ari. Ari thinks Binyam seems nervous as he fidgets around, supposedly with the ring. They get to what looks like crowded festival grounds. Binyam wants to take a lap, but Ari isn't thrilled with the noise and the crowd. She worries that this is not the best place for a baby. Binyam wants to get to the front so he can be part of the baptism, which is a priest hosing people down with, quote, holy water. People are pushing, and Ari has a meltdown and says she needs to get out of there. Binyam doesn't know why she is scared of the holy water and speculates that it's the devil not wanting to leave Ari. Ari thinks that Binyam is not hearing her concerns. She says it's enough for her and Avi, and that he can enjoy the holiday, but not at the expense of everyone else. Binyam says in an interview that Ari is annoying and selfish and only cares about herself, and he's not sure why. This makes Binyam rethink proposing to her. Binyam convinces Ari to go back to his neighborhood to continue the celebration. Ari gives him an hour before she insists that they go home. Binyam tells her that if she has issues, she just needs to tell him. So Ari unloads on him, saying that, you know, what he did wrong today, and he isn't considering the safety and welfare of the baby. Binyam thinks that Ari is nagging him as she says that it's not about the holiday, it's about their family's happiness. They go to Binyam's brother's house to rest and relax. Ari is nagging him, so Binyam says he wants to go and celebrate by himself. Ari admits that she does freak out, but it's based in legitimate and real concern. Ari leaves Avi with Wish, Binyam's sister, and goes back to the festivities to try and find Binyam. She hugs him and tells him that she loves him. He takes her hand and leads her to the front of a carpeted area with a gazebo where his other sister is there, and she distracts Ari while Binyam gets down on one knee, and Ari turns around and he presents a ring wedged into a lemon. He proposes and she accepts, and they both take turns throwing lemons at one another. Okay, so they had kind of a rough day, and it ended up on a high note, considering this was the season finale.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that Binyam should have still proposed to her after everything that happened that day?
I mean, there's definitely two ways to kind of go about it, right? There's two ways. I mean, just thinking shorter term, smaller term, smaller window, right? Is do you like try to salvage a day? Do you kind of make the day you know, by doing the proposal and trying to make it up for it, you know, whatever, this is my plan? Or do you just say, I don't know, it didn't go, let's just save it for another day, like save it for a day where everybody's in a better mood? I think he was probably okay with the first one because she came back to him.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't like chasing her being like, can we get married now? Like she came back to him, was like, I love you. And then it was like, oh, okay, well now I can do the proposal. Like, I think he made the right decision. Like in that case, now longer term, should they have gotten engaged at all? That's a little bit more of an open question, right?
Right, right.
Like, cause I just don't see her staying like at the end of the day.
I don't either. And it's like, I definitely feel like Binyam's patience has very much been tested this season. And it's just, I feel like this is the first we've really, really heard him kind of being a little bit more like petty about it, you know. Uh-huh. Before, when he was upset about stuff, it was just like he was very matter of fact about what was upsetting him. And now he's just like, she's annoying and she's nagging me. You know, so it's kind of like, I think his patience has definitely been tested. I think like you're reaching the end of his rope, and I don't know how much longer that he's going to be able to be patient with her.
Yeah, but I feel like she's also putting up with a lot of crap. Like mm-hmm. the thing that really, really struck me at the beginning, and it really hit me, was they got to this place, they got to this festival grounds, there's a lot of people, she's like, I'm not a fan of this crowd, and then she says it's really loud, and he said it's not loud.
Yeah,
no, it is really loud. Like that's not something you get to have an opinion on, or whether she thinks it's loud or not, like
right,
you know, it's that, and that kind of stuff, the kind of stuff where he, and that's where she gets upset, is he just, when he wants something, he just brushes aside her concerns.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, sure. No, it's not, don't worry about it. It's fine. You're in a crowd of people smushing against people with a baby on your front. And he was like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't understand. Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like just in general, like maybe they should just left the baby at home.
Well, that's always the right choice. I don't know why people insist on bringing babies everywhere.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I don't really understand that, because I think they would have had a good situation all around if the baby wasn't there.
Yeah. And it was great once. Ari left the baby with who? Mimi? Like,
yeah.
Right? And then went, they had their great time, and then she said, I love you, and they got engaged, and it was fantastic. Like, I mean, part of her issue is that she won't ever leave that baby. Like, that baby must be with her at all times, which is, and I'm not saying it's, like, wrong, but it makes things really hard.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so he looked like he was holding a lime, and I'm very confused by this because it seems like in other countries that limes and lemons are interchangeable.
Yes, I've noticed that as well. Other places don't think of limes and lemons as different things. They're just like, it's a lemon.
It's a lemon, yeah. Or everything's a lime. Yeah, it's really, I don't know, it's interesting. Maybe they should just call it citrus.
It's not as annoying as when I was in Australia and I tried to get a lemonade and they gave me a Sprite. And I'm like, this is not lemonade. And they're like, this is lemonade. And I'm like, this is not lemonade. Lemonade is with the lemons. And it was funny because I literally had to show somebody how to make lemonade and they had like never had it before.
Was this at a restaurant?
Well, it was at a restaurant. And then like later, somebody was like, what was you trying to get? You were trying to get lemonade? What the crap is that? And I was like, and they literally, this person had a lemon tree in their backyard.
Oh, what?
And had never made lemonade. Like, and they're like, what? It was so, it's, the other places have different relationships with citrus fruit is what I'm saying.
Interesting. All right.
All right. So how about Devin and Jihoon?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, this, you know, really quick turnaround on this one. So It's the day of the fast Korean wedding ceremony. Devin is explaining the 45-minute time limit on the venue as she's getting her hair and makeup done. She also tells us that she's not sure how the ceremony is going to go on. Repeated things. She's like, I don't know what we're going to do in the ceremony. Carryover from last week. In other rooms, all the guys and girls are getting their makeup done, which is a first for Devin instead. Alicia comes out in some traditional Korean, and he took it all right. Some traditional Korean garb. Did. Like, there is definitely, we've had dads on this show that would be like, no, you are not going to do that to me.
Well, he did. He looked good.
Yeah. So they're getting rushed out of the room. Anyway, Alicia comes out in some traditional Korean garb. She looks really good. And she and Drusilla wait for Devin to come out. They're getting rushed out of the room because the next bride is up in the pipeline and the ceremony is about to start. They're not all too late and the ceremony goes just fine. Drusilla does this flower girl stuff. Jihoon pumps up the crowd on his way out. Devin gets a laugh with her crappy bowing ability. And they end up like married, even though they were already married.
Yeah.
But then they do this father-daughter dance, which was like Devin's only like requirement of the ceremony. And Jihoon's parents just make fun of Jihoon's dancing. So after the wedding, COVID hits Korea. And Devin is describing the gronal virus.
Oh, yeah. I saw that with the subtitles. I was like, what?
As she wears a face mask in her house for some reason. But anyway, Jihoon wasn't wearing a mask in the house, but she was. But anyway, they're quarantined, you know, the four people in a tiny apartment. Nobody's going to work. Nobody's going to school. We all were there, right? Then but then they fast forward for 4 months and Devin is talking about the toll that it's taken in their relationship. Mostly because, and this is what I'm going to say, according to her, Jihoon just plays video games all day and needs some space. They play dramatic music as we see some mess in the apartment. And Devin is packing up to go back to America for 1 month, in quotes, so she can reflect on how she feels about Jihoon and all that has happened. Jihoon accuses Devin of running away from him, but then ends up saying, oh, it's probably good that you go back to America to think about things. He asks her to promise to come back, and she asks him to promise to be less grumpy and combative. And we get to the airport. She's trying to rationalize and sell us on her going back to the States and taking his kid with her. Once she goes through the gate, Jihoon tells us he's worried about the worst case scenario that Devin won't return. So I guess this is when he's being the finale and everything. We should talk that worst case scenario happened.
Yes.
Like, what was the timeline? Do we know what's the timeline of this compared to like with that new dude, Topher is his name? What's the timeline here?
What I heard was that Devin met Topher on a layover at LAX on her way to Korea, I think. So then after that, they were both in relationships. I think he found her on Instagram or something because they must have like talked to each other. And so she got back here. And I want to say there were reports that she was here in July. So then I want to say
that would have matched up with their timeline. The 4 months later, like her leaving in July. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think she was back here in July. And then I want to say that all the crazy stuff about Jihoon being accused of abuse and all of that happened probably about 2.5 months ago. And then probably a couple weeks later, it comes out that she's been dating this Topher character. And I almost want to say that it was, you know, all put out there so it makes Devin look not as skanky for like moving on so quickly, you know, like saying, you know, that it's Jihoon's fault.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's all I could think of was when she was doing all this and being like, oh, it's Jihoon. Oh, he's playing video games.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not doing anything around the house. Oh, it's nothing. I was like, is she talking to this dude right now? Like,
maybe.
Maybe.
It's very possible. I mean, on Instagram, because, I mean, he wasn't in Korea. So it's like, you know, if she was talking to him, it was just that, talking to him.
Yeah, clearly. But still, like, was part of the reason she like got fed up with him because she had this other guy. That she came back was because whatever, this sucks. And there's this other guy. Like,
well, to be honest too, I kind of feel like she probably felt that she could get more support if she came back home. Right. And that, and I mean, I'm sure their house is a lot bigger in Utah too. So if you're going to, you know, think about, okay, you know, especially at the beginning, you just didn't know how long this was all going to be, right? And you're kind of like, okay, if I have to hunker down and be quarantined for a month, like, yeah, it sucks, but it's fine, right? Mm-hmm. Then after like 3 or 4 months, you're like, oh, crap. Like, we're in this for the long haul, right? Yeah. So I'm going to need more space. So I can kind of see, you know, that being a motivating factor there. You're just like, okay, I just want to go back to Utah. It's now not the dead of winter where it's cold. I'm California girl. I care about that. Maybe she doesn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's like a little bit more comfortable. And, you know, I'll be with my family. And you know Alicia's going to be helping out with the kids at least.
Right.
You know, Alicia's going to be keeping the house clean. It's kind of like, yeah, easier life, right? And I agree with Jihoon when he said, you know, just this has been a stressful situation and there's going to be constant fighting if you're in this stressful situation. And so I really feel like, you know, her leaving, making it less stressful, it has the best chance, but at the same time, maybe it just is a indicator for something bigger.
Yeah, I mean, it just...
Because I don't think that's the answer is running away.
No, I mean, I don't think that, yeah, no, that wasn't, I don't think that was the, because it wasn't like, because part of it was, I need to get away from you. Like, and that's...
Which that's never a good sign.
That's never a good sign, right? And yeah. So I'm with what you said before. I just didn't appreciate the way it made it sound like this is 100% Jihoon's fault.
I know, right? But but that has been the theme of this season. Everything has been Jihoon's fault.
When it's here, everything is always Jihoon's fault. It's always Jihoon who's not doing enough. Jihoon's like, we don't know for sure what's going around and what's going down, but they show like the mess in the apartment. Oh, somebody didn't clean up this spill. It's like, well, Devin didn't clean it up either.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, and they have one, I think it was like 5 second clip of Jihoon playing video games.
Right. Right. And it wasn't like when Asuelu was playing video games last year, right? Where he was whoa. But it was like, yeah, and one little clip, more clips of him playing with the kids than there were kids of him playing video games.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know. I just feel like she had something she wanted and she wanted something different. And, but she had to blame him somehow. She couldn't just say, I changed my mind or this isn't working for me. It had to be like, and it's your fault.
Well, I definitely feel like it's one of those things where the grass is greener on the other side.
Totally.
Because I was going to say, also, I thought was kind of funny is everybody's been kind of ripping apart this Topher guy because, you know, all their early pictures has been where his face is hidden, right? And so I think recently... people saw like his real picture and they're kind of like, Jihoon is so much better, looking.
Which is probably why she was hiding his face. She knew it.
Yeah. I was going to say that Jihoon got earrings. I was like, what is going
on
right now?
He did have earrings at the end, right?
Yeah. He's really trying to make that K-pop look happen.
I mean, you know, I guess he seems too old for that, but okay. For that to work for him, but to each his own, I suppose.
Right. Okay, let's see. Next up, let's talk Jenny and Sumit. So Sumit is begging with his mother in the most dramatic way possible to just accept his relationship with Jenny. He claims that he was in his darkest times and they weren't there to support him, and he only had Jenny and himself to keep him alive. His mom tells him he should either live with them or alone, but just not with her. Meanwhile, Jenny is back in the room, wondering what they are so bent out of shape over. There are certainly worse things in life, and this is just not that big of a deal. Sumit declares that he will never go back home, even if him and Jenny aren't together. His mother asks if he is not ashamed, and then turns and asks Jenny if she loves kids that are her children's age. She cries, "Shame! Shame!" Jenny asks his mom why she was so kind to her and let her stay in the house for 4 months and took her shopping and bought her clothes, and she has photo evidence. She begs Jenny to leave him alone. Jenny tells them that her daughter married someone she didn't approve of, but she accepted it because it made her daughter happy. And Sumit's dad then jumps to the conclusion that Jenny is dating Sumit out of revenge. Jenny then gets frustrated and says, "No more talking." Sumit's mom then says she will commit suicide right then and there if they get married. Sumit translates that his mom will commit suicide, and Jenny says that's a terrible thing to say. Sumit isn't sure if she's serious or not, but doesn't even want her to try and doesn't want to be responsible for that. He then says he won't marry Jenny, but he also won't send her back. Sumit thinks that this is a compromise and they will have to accept his terms. His father agrees to his demands and tries to convince his mom, Soomha, to also agree. Anil believes that if they stay in India, there is still a chance that Sumit will change his mind. Sumit is frustrated at the emotional blackmail, but he can't choose Jenny over his mom's death. Jenny says that she can understand that they can't get married, and Jenny says it's a shame that the relationship is now done. Summit says that, you know, it doesn't have to be done, that they will find a way for her to stay in the country. Summit says that they will keep trying. Jenny says that they will either have a long-distance relationship or it's just going to be done. Jenny is upset that this is the third time she's been to India, and she claims she won't come back a fourth time. Jenny had a few weeks left before her visa runs out, and she has applied for an extension, and they're still waiting to hear back. Summit and Jenny go on a picnic as they are masked up and wearing their COVID lanyards. Summit tells Jenny how much he loves her and how much he appreciates her sacrifices. In the middle of his speech, Jenny feels a raindrop, and Summit thinks that God is happy. He presents to her a promise ring to show her he is serious about the commitment. Jenny is so happy, and Summit is also wearing the ring that Jenny bought for him. They get caught in the rain, and Summit thinks that the gods are happy, not mad. Summit thinks that this is like a Bollywood scene. All right, would you take rain as a sign that God was happy?
I mean, it's, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, the rain story in the Bible, God was very not
right.
happy.
I was going to say, in the biblical sense, I'm pretty sure he was pretty freaking angry, right?
But like, there was a rainbow. Like, I mean, definitely, he thinks it's like a meet cute type thing. Like, it ends up, but now they know each other, so it's not really a meet cute. But
yeah,
you know, just like a romantic thing. Oh, we got caught in the rain and ran under this tree that is covered in ants.
Oh my God, those ants were gigantic. Those ants were so huge. Yeah. I was gonna say that, like, it's one thing to say that the rain is romantic, but if you're gonna bring God into this, like, I don't know if God's like super happy when it's raining.
I mean, yes and no, because the other wrathful, rageful thing a God can do is a drought, right?
Oh, right, right.
So rain does, like, water does bring life. So I get, it depends on your theological bent, I suppose.
Well, like I said, if we're going back to God, you know, like, pretty sure the first time we saw rain is because God was not happy.
I couldn't get over him with the wine. She's like, you know, I don't like wine, right? He's like, I don't like wine either, but, you know, it's romantic. And then they drank it from like plastic Dixie cups. Like, you're going to go romantic, but you didn't quite get all the way there. You didn't get the stemware.
Oh, my gosh. I thought his, you know, negotiation with his parents was actually pretty smart, right? He says, I'm going to give you this, but we're still going to be together. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I kind of feel like that's what a compromise is, right? No one really gets their way. And it didn't seem like Jenny minded too much that they weren't going to get married.
I mean, yes. I mean, of course, the offensive part about that is there shouldn't have been a compromise at all. Like, you don't, that's not a compromise you, like, as a parent force upon them. Like, that's not your life. You should, that's his life.
Okay.
I mean, compromise on your life.
I think mom is going to truly commit suicide. That is a bit dramatic.
Well, it's a tail risk, but I totally get where Summit was coming from. It's like, yes. I really don't think she'd do it, but even if it's like a 1% chance and it happened, I couldn't live with myself.
Oh, no, absolutely. No, I agree with his thought on it, but it's just like, come on, mom, like, you're not doing that.
Yeah, it's just, that's like, of all the guilt trippy mom things, just to be like, if you do that,
that
I will
worst.
I will light myself on fire. It's like, oh my God.
Holy You're like, crap. Sure thing.
I really wanted to hear what like the dad said to the mom, like after they left. That would have been the conversation I wanted to hear.
I love how dad just sits back and is like, okay, you're committing suicide, sure.
You could tell he was just like, oh man, like she went there. It's we're past it now. Like, it's all
well,
done.
Well, because I'm pretty sure that's not the first time he's heard that threat.
Oh, it might not be. She might be doing that all the time. If you don't do the dishes, I will kill myself right here.
I'll just kill myself right here. Yeah, I can definitely see that. So he's probably like, yep, I've heard this
before.
I did
like Jenny's reaction. Like, well, that was a terrible thing to say.
Yeah, but it was really funny because, like, at first she said absolutely nothing. Like, I almost was like waiting for her to be like, yeah, so do it then.
We could get married then, right? Yeah, like, that sounds fine.
Over your dead body? All right.
All right. That can be arranged.
However you want it.
So, okay. So I'm going to tell you where Jenny lost a couple points with me right now.
Okay.
It was the point where she was like, my daughter married somebody I don't approve of. And I was like, I know we didn't see her much this year, but like her daughter-in-law, Jenny, is like one of my favorite people on the show. And that's crazy absolutely. To me that she was like, I didn't approve of her. And that's like, that's insane that you wouldn't approve of her.
Right. Because I was going to say, Jenny is like super supportive of Jenny, you know? Yes. It's like, I don't understand how you could not love her.
Yeah, I know. That was very much me being like, what? That's I can't believe it. Like, dumb.
Mm. All right. Moving on.
So, Brittany and Yazan.
Oh, goodness.
So, Yazan and a clearly down in the dumps Brittany. Like, she just decided no makeup this episode.
Oh,
and so,
yeah. She was sad as she face was, like the so entire time. She was
sad face the entire time.
Yep.
Anyway, they're going to get something to eat. We're reminded that Obaida filled her in about the danger for Yazan's life, and thankfully, when they get to somewhere to eat, Adam is there to meet them. Adam, of course, the translator. They kind of go back and forth, and Brittany says Yazan should stop trying to hide things to protect her because that is like the base of what's causing their trust issues. A clearly frustrated Yazan just like rubs his head. She asks if he's in danger, and he admits that he is. He says his family is fixated on her relationship and her social media. Adam adds a lot to the translation that wasn't in the subtitles and brings out and says that his family thinks she's a porn star and that they're already married and already sleeping together. And he says the pressure from his father comes not just from like his brothers and sisters in the immediate family, but also like the entire tribe. And if and when they get married, the tribal elders will like meet to decide whether or not Yazan would be killed or merely disowned. So Brittany doesn't get this process at all. And she's like, we're not doing anything wrong. So why is there like a trial? Yazan wants her not to think about any of this stuff and just decide whether or not she loves him and wants to get married. At this point, Brittany really looks like she's about to throw up. Like she feels like he got them into a lot of trouble without letting her know the stakes. So we'll get there. So now we see them the next day after Brittany has had some time to think. And they sit on a random set of stairs to talk about Brittany's thoughts of the situation. Dangerously, there's no Adam here for this scene. Brittany appreciates all that he's going through, but is justifiably concerned about the situation. She says that because of a danger, then their best option is probably for both of them to leave Jordan and live in America. She wasn't a fan of this idea of him coming to America because she didn't want to have to pay for his shit. But now it seems like the best option. Yazan says that going to America is not a dream of his, and he wanted to stay in Jordan, but if that's what it takes to be with Brittany, then he's willing to do it. Of course, Brittany has absolutely no clue how to get a visa or how long that would take, but she wants to get back to the States to get started. Yazan is worried that by the time she gets back to the States and starts to sort those things out, she'll change her mind. In the next scene, Adam is back, and so is Obaida. They want to let Obaida know the plan and enlist his help that he promised to keep Yazan safe. Yazan tells he wants to go, but Obaida says that Obaida says Yazan has no idea what he's getting himself into, because in order for this to work, he'd have to trust Brittany 100%. She says that what she's looking for is assurances. Obaida said that he originally doubted Brittany's sincerity, and now that he's sure that she has good intentions, he knows how to talk to mom and dad so that Yazan can actually come back home. So, and then in a title card, we learn that Jordan went into a nationwide lockdown the literal next day because of COVID. And so Brittany got the hell out of there as soon as she could. They kind of have this weirdly doe-eyed like trip in a cab in the car where Yazan assures Brittany that he'll be safe. And he says, are you going to marry me or not? And she says, yes, but...
God.
And they get to the airport. Brittany says she's not sure if this is the right relationship for either of them right now. And they have a lot to think about. So, and neither of them seem all that concerned about the pandemic that is shutting down the country. Okay, so I was confused about a lot of stuff here.
Same. But let's talk it out.
I guess I'm going to start with the thing that most confused me. Obaida thinks he can get Yazan back into the family?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think that Obaida just wasn't sure how real their relationship was. And I mean, that's what he was kind of saying. But now that Obaida has seen that Brittany really has true intentions and that they really do love each other, he's willing to speak up you know, on behalf of Yazan. I do think it's a little presumptuous of him to think that, you know, he will be able to persuade them, but I think that, you know, he does have some influence. Now, whether or not that actually changes their mind is yet to be seen.
Well, and that's what I was confused about, because he says, well, I can change Dad's mind. But earlier they were talking about this whole like tribal tribunal that's going to decide his fate based. And that's where the pressure's coming from. These distant cousins, like those are the people like that matter. And so I don't know how he could like overcome this whole tribe thing. That seems weird to me.
Yeah, I kind of feel like even though the tribal thing, it's because a lot of the stuff is coming from them. So maybe if the dad kind of like puts the kibosh on it, that'll hold some weight, mm-hmm. you know, because I would think that his dad is kind of one of the elders in that tribe. You know, he seems to be about the right age, and it's really more so like him and his cousins and uncles kind of situation. So mm-hmm. You know, I think if he were to say, this is my son, I know that this is the situation, like, you know, back off, then that would help their situation.
Oh, man, I just could not shake the whole time that Brittany is, she's trying to say things, but in what the end, she's just scared shitless. And she's
she is.
I have to get the fuck out of here.
Oh, like, absolutely. 100%. But at the same time, I am so irritated with her. It's like it takes all of this for her to realize, oh, it wasn't just him being controlling and him being like, you know, trying to tell me what to do. It's just like, no, crazy person. Like, it wasn't just a power struggle for your relationship. Like, this had bigger implications, and he's been telling you this.
I don't agree. He has not been telling her that. He has specifically been hiding it from her. He even told Adam, like, she said, what's going on? And he was like, she doesn't have to worry about that. Tell her she doesn't have to worry about that. Like, instead of telling her what's up. Like, and I agree with her that they're trust issues, because to her, not knowing that culture and not knowing what's going on, to her, him kind of playing hard to get and playing phone tag looks the same as being like, oh no, I couldn't answer it because if I answered my phone, my dad might start beating me right now. Like, those look the same to her, and she has no idea what's going on, specifically because by his admission, he was keeping that from her.
Okay, that is true. But the things like with their social media, because it sounds like that is where the elders specifically were having problems, right? That's where they've kind of made the conclusion that she's a porn star, uh-huh. is from her social media. He had been telling her, like, you know, take those pictures down, you know, like, and she just thought it was like him trying to control her. So she was just like, no. And so she's like, even when she went to Chicago, she was intentionally posting like her ass out, like in that skimpy bikini. Like, you know, it's just like, he's been telling you this, and she just thought he was insanely jealous.
Right. I mean, I don't know. I feel like that's not an unreasonable conclusion to come to from her perspective, because she was playing with him. She thought he was being jealous. And so her response for him being jealous was, well, I'm going to do it more. Right. Because if it's going to make you. So she was playing games. Like, I'm not doubting she was playing games. She was 100% was playing dumb games, but she just thought he was playing dumb games too. And he was not. He was doing something completely different.
Sure. Yeah. Ugh, but just it's frustrating to me when people do something out of spite. You know, it's like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I didn't know this would upset you. But it's like, oh, this will upset you? Well, I'm going to assert my independence and my freedom, and I'm going to do it anyway. You know, and that is kind of the impression I definitely got from that. And that to me is what's frustrating. It's like almost like she did it on purpose to make him more mad.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not denying that she's not great in this situation. Right. But she, and that's, I think it just came down to he had her convinced that she was playing a different game than was being played.
Sure. Okay. On a much happier note, I guess we're ending with Kenny and Armando.
That's good. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. So Kenny and Armando are facing the pandemic, and Armando explains to Hannah that every day she has to scrub her hands enough to erase a coronavirus bug he has drawn on her hand with a permanent marker. Kenny tells us that his children can't come to visit because of all the travel restrictions. They have been bored out of their minds just hiking and baking. Kenny is appreciative of the family time and the bonding time he's got with Hannah. Armando tells us that he has called the Human Rights Office so many times to follow up that they told him to stop calling, but they have finally reached out with an email. Armando translates the email for Kenny and tells him that their case has been solved, so they just need to go back to the registry with the attached document and they will be able to get married. They are both excited and happy. Kenny is happy that they fought for it and didn't just give up. They go tell Hannah the news that they can get married now. She says she is happy that they are going to be a family. She hugs Kenny, saying she is happy to have Kenny as a real dad. Kenny and Armando have a celebration with a bottle of champagne and a picnic on the beach in their matching white button-up shirts and khaki pants. Armando tells Kenny that everything has been so much better since Kenny has been there and that he has been given a whole new lease on life. Armando says he's come to the realization that there is nothing wrong with their love and he feels free to love. Kenny says that they will break through any roadblocks together. Kenny has arranged for a sunset horse ride on the beach. Armando jokes that it's very Brokeback Mountain. All right. You know, their stuff is very light. There's really not a whole lot of conflict going on with them. They definitely wrapped it up in a nice bow. They have a happy ending.
Yep.
Okay. So happy that they are wearing matching clothes. Would you ever wear matching clothes with your partner?
Yeah, it defines.
You're a softy. I know you would.
Depends. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I mean,
if they wanted to, I know you would. If they demanded it,
I don't know. I don't know, but I could be with a partner that would demand that we wear matching clothes.
Yeah, well, not demand, but they're like, oh, I got you this sweater. Let's go to this Christmas party wearing matching sweaters.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I could. I don't know if I would end up with somebody that would think that was cute. Does that make sense? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wouldn't be a thing. It'd be like, oh, no, I definitely would be with somebody who would be like, oh, no, matching clothes? No. Like, coordinating clothes? Yes. Like, I'm also kind of against those. Everybody took them for engagement pictures, and now everybody does it for their kids. I call them soft focus in the woods or shallow focus in the woods pictures that everybody takes.
Yeah.
I can't do those either. So.
Both of those are going to happen. You're going to find someone that you're just going to be like.
Somebody that's going to get me to take a shallow focus in the woods picture.
And next thing you know, you're in matching Christmas sweaters, taking pictures in the woods. It's in your future. I see it.
Mark it down. Okay.
Yeah, that pretty much wraps it up. There was no drama with them. So we don't have a tell-all.
Oh, you know what, though? Oh, you know what? Back before we go. Because it was one thing, I was impressed that Kenny was able to set up this horse riding thing despite speaking no Spanish at all. Like that was.
Oh, God. Well, okay, let's think about this, though. Like,
it's been months. He should have learned some.
Yeah, but horseback riding on the beach, like that's a very touristy thing, right? You're not doing that if you actually live there. So the tour operator is like 100% English speaking. Oh,
that's true.
Yeah, so. Fair enough. Seems easy enough. And that also seems like something you could easily book online.
Yeah. If you just dials random numbers and you'd be like, habla inglés? Habla inglés?
What is it? Montamos los caballos? That's my terrible Spanish. Let's not judge me.
Better than my Spanish. Anyway, but yes, the tell-all. No tell-all. I was actually...
Yes.
I did not know this was the finale until
Do we ever know if it's a finale? Well, yeah, we usually get a week's notice.
We usually get a week's notice. This time it was like...
No notice.
Oh, there's no preview for next week. And then I was like... And then I like looked at like on the internet and was like, oh, the other way finale. And I was like,
yeah, all right.
Okay. which I'm okay with. I was actually pretty pumped there was no tell-all, actually.
Yeah. No, I have to agree. The tell-alls are always like... hard to cover. I feel like we don't really get much from them.
It's usually like a half hour worth of material that you have to watch 5 hours of TV to get.
Right. I feel like especially there's been a lot of Devin Ji-hoon drama with her accusing him of abuse and she like refused to be on the tell-all with him, which is I think like...
Well, yeah. And now that there's like those accusations and there's like court cases going, they couldn't tell-all anyway. Like, not with the ongoing cases.
Yeah. And I mean, everybody else, you know, ended kind of on a high note. So, well, Brittany and Yazan. It would have been nice to get a quick update.
And also, they weren't in the episode as Tim and Melissa.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I feel like we could have got a title card or something giving us some kind of update. That would have been nice.
Yeah. But yeah, everybody else was kind of like, yes, we're getting engaged. Our marriage came through. Yay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but then at the same time, I don't know if I really care if Tim and Melissa get back together again.
Oh my God,
again.
I really don't care about them at all. Yeah. So much.
And then
hard.
Brittany and Yazan, they shouldn't get back together again. So it's kind of like...
They should not. No. All right.
So we're going to move into our power rankings. We will start number one, meaning the most
likable,
I guess.
The most likable. So this was a gimme
number
one.
To the most detestable. I know, right? Number one, you have to have Armando, right?
It was Armando. Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
Armando. Yeah. Armando was likable as a person. He was really sweet. He was grappling with his own issues, but he worked through them. He was a good partner.
A good dad. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, yeah. Armando. I mean.
Yeah, I didn't think that one. That one was, it was not even close. So the more interesting is
very universal.
Down.
All right. Yeah. I think we might disagree with number two.
Well, for two, I put Kenny.
Yeah, I kind of thought you would.
Yeah, I mean, he was fine. And the part, honestly, it's literally because I didn't think he did anything especially special. But everybody else was like, oh, no, they did these terrible things wrong. Like,
yeah.
And so it was just like, I feel like a lot of times we get, you know, we get down to replacement level, you know, replacement level cast member. We get down, that's usually like at four or five. And I feel like I feel like Kenny is my replacement level cast member because he did not have great, his lack of Spanish speaking was very concerning. That was like the big thing that put him like way lower. But like, his kids loved him. He was like a good guy. Like, so Kenny was two. Who was your two?
Yeah. So my two is actually, and I know this is going to be a controversial pick for you, Mr. O. I said Binyam. So I felt like he was, you know, really trying the whole time. He was really trying. He lets Eri get her own way most of the time. And even like down to like naming the kid, right? He did not like that name at all. It's, you know, he disagreed with like where they should be living, but he went along with all of it. And I think like, yes, he is not perfect, but I thought he did the best that he could do given the circumstances. And I think at the end of the day, he's always trying to make her happy at the expense of his own happiness in a lot of ways. And I know that you have interpreted some other actions as not so much, which is why I know this is going to be, it's a controversial pick.
Yes, definitely.
But but I was going to say, and then Kenny is my number three because the reason why I ranked him a little bit lower than Binyam was just because I feel like Kenny... as much as he's a likable guy, I felt like he didn't make much effort to really assimilate into the culture, right? So I kind of felt like Binyam, on the other hand, did a lot of bending over backwards to make Eri feel comfortable in Ethiopia. But Kenny was just kind of like, I feel like it was just, you know, like, I'm not even going to bother learning any Spanish. You know, I'll just have Armando be around with me all the time. I'll let him figure it out.
Sure. Sure. So number three, because like as you had guessed, we'll get to Binyam much later in my list.
Yes, I figured.
Now, my number three was Jihoon.
Okay.
Just because I kind of feel like a lot of the stuff you said about Binyam was true about him this time. Right. He just tried and he was all it was everything. This whole season was just more and more demands of him. You need to do this. And so he did it. You need to do this. And so he did it. You need to do this. And so he did it. You know? And so just over and over again of just her, of those demands. And he like seemed like he was really trying. And, you know, sometimes the egg translator messed it up. But like when he needed to get the, when he needed to get the money from the ATM, he went to the ATM and they got a different apartment. And like, he got the stupid wedding ceremony done. Like it all of it was just like everything that she asked, he did. And then she left. Like, so yeah, that was my Jihoon, number three. Who was your number three?
My number three was Kenny. What about your number four?
My number four was Melissa.
Oh, mine was too.
Just cause it didn't seem like she was totally open, like to the whole relationship actually working again. But
at the end, it kind of seemed.
Yeah. At the end. It seemed like she closed him out until he was like, oh, this isn't working. And then she was like, but, like.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I mean, at the end of the day, she didn't do anything terrible.
Right. No, and that's exactly why I had her a little bit lower down too, is because I felt like she was very guarded, and I feel like it did cause issues in their relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, because she was uncertain if it was going to work out. And it's not because she didn't want it to work out. She was just uncertain about it. And mm-hmm. so, and I think that is also something that I feel like I can really relate to. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, you could also afford to, you know, try a little harder.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So my number five, that's where we're at. Mm-hmm. Wait, we did everybody's number four. Yeah. My number five is Sumit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just because, again, he seemed to be trying to make things work and trying to do things the right way. He didn't want to go behind his parents' back and get married and, like, do all that stuff either. Like, yeah. He was still trying to stay. He was like, you know, especially after last year, was just trying to be like, no, I'm done with this goddamn secret shit. I'm not going to secretly go do this shit. I'm not going to secretly do this. Everybody's going to know. We're going to do it. And it didn't work out. Like, it doesn't work like he wanted it to. But I can respect the hustle. Like, I can respect him just being like, no, we're going to do it. And do it above board.
Right, right. So my number five was Ji-hoon. So Ji-hoon didn't really do anything bad. I do think Ji-hoon's a little on the lazy side. And I think even his friends would say that.
Sure.
So, I mean, like, could he be better? And could he, you know, try a little harder? Yes. And that's why I feel like he's a little bit further down. Do I think he gets blamed for things that, you know, even if he was trying his best? Yes, absolutely. So it's kind of like, cut the guy some slack. So yeah, Ji-hoon, that's why he's my number, what, five? And so my number six was actually Sumit. And the reason why Sumit was a little bit further down, because actually, if we think about what Sumit did this season, like, there was nothing that he did bad this season, I felt. Mm-hmm. I felt like he handled everything the best he could given the situation. He's, followed through with his divorce for Jenny, followed through with standing up to his parents, you know, came up with, I thought, a pretty good deal/compromise. But the thing that just kills me is that Sumit has a history of lying.
Yeah.
You know, and so it does make me suspicious that, you know, that he's lying to someone, you know, that he's lying to Jenny and right. that, you know, this isn't going to work out. So it's like, I'm still suspicious because
sure.
It's not that he told little lies. He told pretty big lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my number six was Jenny.
Okay.
Just, I don't know. She makes a lot of, like, she's been doing this for 8 years, right? She said she met her parents 8 years. I feel like she would at some point get some sort of insight into their culture or insight into the dynamics of what's going on. And she would stop, like, making these weirdly unreasonable demands and, like, kind of living this pipe dream. That she's living in, where it's like, oh, well, we'll tell your parents and everything will be fine. And it's like, is it gonna be? Do you think that's the plan? Do you think that's gonna work, Jenny? Like, and kind of doing the same thing. So we've had a few people on here. One of them was way lower on my list of just kind of being like making a lot of demands of the person they're with,
mm-hmm.
and not really doing anything themselves. What did she even do? I don't even know what she did.
Yeah, she showed up. That's what she did.
She was there. Yeah. Like, that was it.
Well, I think from her perspective, she would argue that she sacrificed a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? She definitely, you know, she didn't have much to go back to. And she, you know, it's because she moved there in the first place. So.
Yeah. And it's like.
But what has she done for him? I guess move there.
Yeah. I mean, there's a theme you see every once in a while is like, I came here, I'm done. Like, that was my sacrifice. I did my part. Now it's up to you.
Right, right. Okay. Speaking of which, my number, what were we on? Seven is Tim.
Seven. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. My number seven is Tim. I kind of feel like Tim, he messed up. And he came back and he really tried. But I think the other how he messed up was he always had an exit plan,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's I don't really know if things had gone perfectly, you know, and Melissa from the very beginning and they were super happy. Do you think that things would have been different? Do you think he would have still come back?
Maybe. But like, yeah, it's hard to say. He was always really. weirdly defensive about it and was like, you know, he had that like puppy dog thing of like, oh, I'm good now. Are we okay now? Look at me. I'm down. I'm a puppy dog. Are we okay now? And it was like, that's really off putting. And when he stopped doing that is when she was like, oh, maybe, you know, but when he stopped doing that, he was out. He was done.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. That's why he's kind of in the middle of the pack for me. It was like all the really objectionable stuff he did was before the season.
Yeah, that's true. That's
Mainly the cheating.
Mainly the cheating. So Tim was actually my 8. So we'll kind of skip that around because we were on 7.
Yes.
And my 7 was Ariella, actually.
Because
I feel like and part of it is like I feel like she was. It's more of an underrated, overrated type thing. I feel like she, especially online and stuff, got a lot of crap for stuff that was, you know, bad, but not as bad. Because the other thing, too, is like a lot of the stuff is imaginable when you're in such a weird, scary situation of having your first kid in a foreign country with no one you know around and everyone trying to grab the kid and do things that you're not sure that you want done and everybody just talking past you and talking over you. Like that's, and then having to live in a house by yourself. Like that's it. All this stuff is so incredibly stressful that I give her a lot more grace than people do for some of the stuff she was doing, for some of the stuff that she freaked out about. Right. Right. The reason, like, even you go to the circumcision thing, the reason that she freaked out and pulled the baby out of the circumcision is because she was never sure if that's what she wanted to do. And they were just like, well, this is what we're doing now. And she was like, but I don't, they never had the full conversations. They never did anything. So I feel like the world was like spinning around her and she like could lash out and grab whatever control she could when she could. And so but a lot of the stuff was kind of ridiculous like that she wanted. And like, and she was too clingy with that baby, but I was like, I kind of get it.
Yeah, sure. All right, what were we on? 8?
8, because my 8 was Tim and we already talked about him, so who was your 8?
Okay, so my 8 was Jenny.
Okay.
Jenny, I just feel like she's borderline dumb. It's like, who goes back to India 3 times with these huge lies?
And these huge expectations. She didn't like visit India 3 times. She came to India 3 separate times to get married.
Right. And I kind of feel like she finally started to learn her lesson. Like she's like, no, I need to go meet with the divorce lawyer to confirm that the divorce papers actually have been filed, which it's like, okay, good for you. But it's kind of like her whole thing where like, I can't do this to this family. But then like 2 seconds later, she's like defending their relationship. It's just kind of like,
back there being
like,
well, that would be sad if you killed yourself. Jeez. Like,
yeah. Yeah, and plus, you know, doing the math, it is, to me, kind of almost predatory. I don't think I would go so far as to yell shame at her face like Sumit's mom did.
Like it was Game of Thrones.
I know, shame. Right? Shame. Shame. Yeah, but, you know, it's kind of like, if you think about when their relationship started, you know, Sumit was like, what, 23?
Yeah. I mean, and the other thing, too, is I resented that she was like, I have pictures of when she was nice to me. And I was like, yeah, that's before, that's when she didn't think you were romantically involved with her son. Right. That's a different situation.
Yeah. All right. What about your number 10?
No, my number 9.
Oh, number 9. Sorry.
Number 9. My number 9, that's when Binyam comes up. That's where I put Binyam because I feel like a lot of the stuff he did was just to shut her up. Like a lot of the times when he gave her what she wanted, it was just because I don't want to fight. Like, and he didn't really give her what he wanted. He just said whatever he could to get the fight to stop and then went and did what he wanted later. Mm. Like, we're going to get this kid baptized. We're going to get this kid circumcised. Like, I gave you the name because you gave me the middle name is my name, right? And like, and especially, I was especially hurt the way he was going through this, like just not ever actually getting her concerns, like never understanding her concerns and just thinking she was being annoying, right? When he got-
Because she was.
When she said, like little things, I'm gonna go back to a little couple things that really pissed me off. When they were like, you walk home with a baby and he got in the back seat without the car seat anyway. And she was like, no, you really have to get out of the goddamn car. And he's like, oh, you're so annoying. Oh, I can't believe I'm walking with this kid. I'm going to trip and fall on it. Oh, right. Like he does this, like he played the ass bongos on his exit in front of her. Like, And then he said the thing that I really wish it was a vaginal birth because they'll love their children more.
Oh, yeah,
like,
that's true.
He said a lot of gross stuff, but he's a charming guy that it doesn't seem like it's doing that. I'm not going to say he's not charming. He is charming. But I feel like if you kind of look past the charm, it's a lot of dark, a lot of nasty stuff there that I didn't like. And so that's why he's much lower for me.
Okay. All right. So my number, where are we on? 11?
I just did my nine. So did you do your nine?
No. My number nine. Oh my gosh. I need a number this next time. My number nine is Yazan.
Okay.
So Yazan, communication. But at the same time, I kind of feel like Yazan's lack of English was part of the issue, but we already know it wasn't completely the issue. He was trying to protect Brittany and just like not let her worry about it. But she is right in that, you know, it did cause major problems. So I don't know. It's more so I kind of felt like this is just a bad match to begin with.
Oh, well, that's definitely for sure.
Yeah.
I had him lower. We'll get to my thoughts of him when we get to him. So that leaves us to number 10.
Yes.
My number 10 was Devin.
Mine was too.
Just because I said Ji-hoon was fine because it was demand that he met. And guess what Devin was doing the whole time? Making a demand. And like literally holding his son like hostage. Like, I'll go back to America and take your son with me. Like, that's.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Ariella kind of did that too. But but she did it like here and did exactly the same thing Jenny did. I moved here. Mm-hmm. I'm done. I did my part. How much did I give up? And it's like, well, you're not done. Like, you don't get to stop. At no point in any relationship do you get to just declare, I'm done. It's your turn now. Like, that's not how relationships work.
Yeah. I think also for Devin, why she's further down is because I kind of put her in a package with Alicia.
Okay.
And like, it was absurd. The blaming Ji-hoon for Drusilla's bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. You know, it's like, yeah, you can monitor a child so much, but it's like, you also should be a good parent and teach your kid.
Sometimes kids get loose and run on the street. Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Especially when they're like the kind of kids that draw on walls and like just go crazy all the time.
She's a wild child, she's for sure.
Wild, for real.
Yeah. All right. How about your number 11?
All right. So I only have two left, and I was like, really debating which one of these two I wanted to put on the bottom. And I'm pretty sure I know which one you put on the bottom.
Yeah.
And that's my number 11 is Brittany.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. Because like she was, but if she was in a different show, like she wanted to be in a different show. She thought she was in a different show, right? Where she does plays the games and is on the social media and does all the stuff and is just a pretty garbage relationship person, right?
Yeah.
That is just, it's a classic, right? It's a classically garbage relationship person of playing the stupid phone tags. She's definitely the person who would definitely keep track of how long it took you to text back, because when she's texting you back, she's going to make sure it's longer, right? That's the kind of person she is. She was like, so I wouldn't want anything to do with her.
Yeah.
Right. And so I totally see why she's really low. She's just not the lowest for me.
Yes. You know me well, Mr. O. Brittany was definitely the lowest. And I think something that we kind of forgot about maybe or haven't at least mentioned is the fact that she was lying about her divorce. She was not divorced.
Yeah.
And so she's constantly lying and stalling. And like, you know, she lied about why she came back to the U.S. so she could like deal with the divorce, you know. And it's just like stuff like that is just, oh, she annoyed me. And because this is like my personal power ranking, the reason why Aerie is so far down is because I just didn't like her. Like, there was nothing likable about her. She was constantly complaining about whatever it was. It was like, at the end of the day, it's like, do you love this guy? Because it doesn't seem like you do at all. The whole time you were talking about how he can't provide the things that you want and how like she had these high expectations of like what, her standard of living.
Okay. Well, it also sounds like you're also grouping in Ariella with her mother too.
Oh my gosh. But you know, the thing is that like you know, she knew the situation that she was getting herself into. It's like when you act like a bohemian hippie where you're just going to wander around the world, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, you're in a situation where you're now a parent, you're all of a sudden going to be like, nope, that life isn't good enough for any of our family. It's like, well, let's think about how this kid was conceived, right?
True. True.
Yeah. So I just felt like she had really incredibly high expectations. Like, I thought she was super naggy and, like, just impossible to deal with. I could not stand, like, this person would never be my friend. I could not stand being in the same room with her for, like, 10 minutes without rolling my eyes so hard.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at getting along with many people. I could get along with her. But,
oh, I could not. The negativity, I would not be able to deal with it.
I'm good. I have looks that is just like, come on. Like, I wouldn't have to roll my eyes. It'd be like, come on, you seriously doing that? Like, come on.
Like, I wouldn't be able to deal with negativity.
I can usually get people to be like, all right, I guess you're right. That's ridiculous. Anyway, so that leaves my last one. Yazan was the bottom of my list. Because we were talking about it before. Like, he was playing games too. Right? He was keeping stuff from her. He had this, because he also had this delusional idea that this was going to work. Like, the entire bad situation is his ridiculous delusion and his weird infatuation with her that comes out of, like, nowhere.
Yeah, I'm so confused,
like,
by that.
Like, at any point where, like, this whole storyline, when it's going along the whole time, you're like, why do you think this would work? It doesn't make any sense at all. And, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, those, it was keeping her in the dark about, like, what was actually going on. And so some of the mistakes she made was because she didn't actually know the consequences of what she was doing. Right. And it's specifically because he didn't tell her and he was literally trying to hide it from her. But then there was all the times he would just call. He just started crazy screaming at her.
Oh, God. Yes.
Right? Like, he did it when he got in a car wreck. He did it when she had tequila and hugged the producer.
Yeah.
Like, just out of control screaming at her. And so it was like, he's not better, like, than she is. And so, and his was, like, dangerous. So that's why he went to the bottom of me.
Okay. Yep. All right. It's not that I don't understand where you're coming from.
That was, you know what? That honestly was I think that's the most we've disagreed on any power rankings of any season we've done so far.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And, you know, for me, a lot of times it's like, especially towards the bottom, it was like, do I like this person? No, I just don't like that person, you know, at least for Airy.
Uh-huh.
You know, at the end of the day, was she trying to be a good mom? Absolutely. But I just don't like her.
That seems to be the consensus among most people. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Did you have a life lesson?
No, I did not have a life lesson. I don't know.
Do you want to do a life lesson?
Keep horses off the beach. I've gone to the beach. You know what I don't want on the beach? Horse shit. Get your horses off the beach.
Oh, goodness. You know, don't horses sometimes have that little bag that you attach
sometimes
to the back of
these
them?
Sometimes. These ones definitely did not.
Like, yeah. Has like a little poop collector
like
back
you should
there.
Do that for like police horses and stuff. Yeah. They've got a little bag.
All right. Well, my life lesson is you can't just say that you want change. You have to be more specific and explicit if you want actual measurable results. So you should set goals and objectives for your change. All right. So we are having technical difficulties. And so I don't know if Mr. O is going to say goodbye, but we will see you all next week with 90 Day Fiancé. I think the regular season starts next week. So we'll have a new batch of couples and it'll be some good times. So we'll get our first impressions then. All right. See you then. Bye. Good.